1st, Congress created new pandemic unemployment programs last year to deal with big job losses seen in the early days of the outbreak. And those programs were extended in March of this year. Now they're slated to end next Monday nationwide. And those unemployment recipients here in Wisconsin will see their last day of the extended benefits under the program this Saturday. According to projections from the Century Foundation, 7.5 million Americans are expected to lose all their unemployment benefits when the programs end. What does that all mean, then, for people relying on pandemic unemployment coverage? And what changes do unemployment systems need to respond to the next crisis? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been relying on one of these pandemic unemployment programs right now? Either the one that pays a little extra each week, $300 extra each week for recipients, the program that extends coverage past normal state limits, or the one that applies to self-employed people? How will the end of those benefits impact you? Do you think it's time for these enhanced unemployment benefits to end now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Lauren Bauer is a fellow in economic studies at the Brookings Institution whose research focuses on safety net policies. She's also affiliated with the Hamilton Project at Brookings. Lauren, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Lauren, I gave very brief summaries of the different unemployment programs that are expiring in under a week now. Can you spell those out a little more for us? What is out there on the table right now?
Sure. So I think when the pandemic hit, Congress really acted quite quickly to try and help people, workers specifically, right, who were going to lose their jobs through no fault of their own, because this recession was not caused by a problem in the economy. It was caused by a public health crisis. And so they made a couple of different changes, some of which we usually do during recessions and some of which were new for the first time here to help make families whole. So, you know, normally when we're in a recession, we want people to be able to get extended benefits longer, unemployment benefits longer. And so one of the programs that was started, re-upped, and will be ending this week is a program that lets you stay on unemployment insurance longer. You know, I think the two other pieces that are new for this recession are giving people a top-up. So it started as $600 and then became $300 to try and get people closer to, or in some cases over, the wages that they were earning before they lost their jobs. And then finally, you know, not everybody qualifies for unemployment insurance who's a worker. And so a new program, Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, PUA, was created to try and provide some insurance to workers who otherwise, you know, weren't paying into the system before and their employer wasn't paying into the system before, like gig workers and the self-employed. And so all three of those programs are ending at the same time nationwide this Saturday, except in those states that chose to end them early.
When the pandemic hit, as you mentioned, a bunch of sudden job losses for a lot of people, big spike in unemployment, unemployment substantially lower now. We're not completely back to normal levels at this point. But given the improvement since then, do you see a need for those programs to go on, or do you feel like this is a good time for them to wrap up?
So I'm not a big fan of dates certain, which is to say that, you know, when Congress reauthorized these programs, they just picked a date, Labor Day, notably, to just end the programs without any understanding at the time or even now what the economy was really going to look like, right? And I think, you know, a little bit ago, before Delta really came back with a roar, you know, the economy was looking like it was getting closer to a self-sustaining recovery on broad strokes. And there were, you know, certain people in the country who were having a lot harder time, like moms who had to caregive, you know, low-income workers of color, people who were competing for the first time with, you know, teenagers in the labor market, and they still needed help, but it seemed like we were in a good place. Now, I think there's a lot of worry about how precarious this economic recovery is, because, you know, the economy is not going to get back on track until the virus is under control. And the virus is not under control. And that's a real problem when you have deadlines like these that are date certain and not tied to, you know, economic space triggers.
and that date certain is coming up, as you mentioned, Labor Day. What do you see as the impact of these programs coming to a close? For some people, that's going to mean losing benefits completely. For some people, it's going to mean losing the extra $300 a week. What's the impact of all that dropping out at once?
Sure. So some of my colleagues have already started to study this problem, looking at the states who decided to end the program early. And what they found is kind of alarming, but I think we can qualify that. So on the one hand, you know, when these states cut off unemployment benefits before they had to, you know, about a third of their participants lost all of their benefits, right? So we're going from a third to 100. Then, you know, some did find jobs, you know, at a slightly higher rate than in the states that maintain their benefits, but they held off spending because, you know, they lost, you know, hundreds of dollars in unemployment insurance, but they only made $14 more. And so, you know, into that hole, you are actually pulling a ton of money out of the economy. And so I think the things that we're worried about at the household level is if you lost your job and you are still unemployed now, there's a reason. Like, we are not a country that just loves to hang out on unemployment insurance. Like, you have a kid you're taking at home, you're caregiving, you're a single mom, you can't take a job now, or you can't find a job, or you are planning to take a job at the Google campus and then the Google campus closed and now you can't, you know, go work in that cafeteria like you were planning to next month, that we are not going to be providing any insurance protection to people who have been riding this out. But we're also worried about pulling all of that money out of the economy. You know, we've spent a lot of money from unemployment insurance has gone into the economy, and people have been able to maintain their spending. And, you know, I think we're worried that, you know, because this timing is happening at such a precarious point, that pulling those resources, those stimulative dollars out of the economy at a precarious point could snowball into something worse.
Talking to Lauren Bauer from the Brookings Institution about the upcoming end of expanded unemployment benefits, a COVID-19 related relief effort there. It ends on September 6th, a couple days earlier, effectively here in Wisconsin. It ends the extra $300 a week payments, the extended eligibility timelines, and self-employed worker coverage as well. Does that affect you? Call in now at 800-642-1234. Or are you thinking it is time for these expanded benefits to end? Let us know what you think. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Lauren, you mentioned the thought that some people are not going into the workforce now because they've got this extra $300 a week, say they've got these longer eligibility timelines. And we've had employer groups in Wisconsin say, hey, we're having trouble hiring people. And this money is helping them at least stay on the sidelines when they could be coming and making money, expanding our economy here in the state. What do you say to those concerns?
There doesn't seem to be any evidence that either the enhanced benefit amounts, so that extra $300 or $600, or the fact that, you know, that pandemic unemployment assistance or being able to stay on the program longer is having a meaningful impact on employment nationwide. And, you know, I don't think that there's any specific information about Wisconsin, but, you know, Wisconsin has a lower unemployment rate than the nation by, you know, about 1.5 percentage points and a higher labor force participation rate. And so, you know, just extrapolating from there, I think, you know, what applies at the nation would apply to Wisconsin. These programs are not holding back the economy in Wisconsin. If anything, they're injecting some cash.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Mike is with us in Milwaukee. Mike, hello.
Hi. I guess I kind of want to echo that point is, you know, we're running a business that is hungry right now for workers. We're offering bonus packages, and we offer competitive pay rates and things like that would probably be very close to what the workers are making now with these enhanced benefits, but it wouldn't be the case if they would have just been on a straight Wisconsin unemployment. And so I see the federal government is propping up the economy through people by just giving this money out, but it is affecting our ability to draw workers in. And until we get this, I don't really see the economy being able to stand on its own at all until we can get workers back into jobs that, whether they were used to or not, you know, they, even if they were just working as a waiter or a waitress or something like that, they're not getting back to these jobs that are open here that really desperately need their help, or even construction work that we're working on that we need people to work at, and we can't get people to go, and we're giving $1,000 bonuses for signing up with us.
Mike, thanks a lot for that call. So Mike feeling like he's competing with these enhanced benefits, Lauren, to get people on the job.
So that's really interesting, I think, because as I said, there's no evidence that that is true, because the generosity of, you know, the benefits that people know are ending, right, can't compete with a good and steady job. But I think a lot of workers over the past year have really taken the time to reevaluate, you know, what a safe and proper workplace is. And I think that people are holding out because they don't feel safe. And, you know, they are expecting better pay than what's being offered. You know, the way to attract workers is to raise their wage. And if your wages are pretty close to unemployment insurance, you know, that's on you to raise it to attract those people and to find best match in the market. But as I said, you know, the unemployment rate in Wisconsin is really low. I think, you know, we want to try to get more people off of the sidelines. Those are not people getting unemployment insurance, right? Those are people who have exited the labor market because they're taking care of their kids or for some other reason. They're not actively searching. And the bigger thing to change here is not about workers who lost their job and taking away the benefits that were insured and they earned, but, you know, drawing more people who are not in the labor force at all off the sidelines.
Right now, we're picking up our conversation about enhanced unemployment benefits created during the pandemic coming to an end. Lauren Bauer stays with us from the Brookings Institution. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Laura is with us in Manitowoc. Laura, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to address this notion that, you know, people are staying home because they're receiving an extra $300 a month with this thought that I'm hoping your guest can address. I mean, I think I'm perceiving reality correctly here when, you know, it's not just a shortage of service workers that I personally am experiencing, but just try to make a doctor's appointment. You know, I mean, so many doctors in my town have retired early because of COVID, and surely we don't think that, you know, they are staying home because of an extra $300 a month. That's ridiculous. But I mean, you know, I know lots of people that have left the workforce early due to COVID, and they're white collar professionals. It's just, we apply this irrational conclusion, you know, in a prejudicial manner to people who are not quote unquote white collar workers. And I don't understand that. I guess that's just an argument people can make when confronted with this conclusion that people are staying home because of $300 a month.
Laura, thanks for the call. And to clarify, Lauren, I think it's $300 a week, but Laura's point that there may be there are shortages in lots of lines of work, including ones that would make substantially more than that kind of unemployment money.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And I think we're seeing a huge shift here, right? Because for a long time, you know, it is not typical that the service sectors are the sectors that are decimated in recession. And so we've seen the inverse here, where people are spending, you know, tons of money on cars. I mean, I had to buy a dryer and a dishwasher during this because, you know, we were using it a lot and they broke, right? People are spending money on durables. And now as we're, you know, somewhat feeling safer and trying to make these appointments with people, we're finding out that that doctor retired, or that, you know, dentist, you know, the dental assistant has to watch her kids, and all of that's harder. And so, you know, I think we're going to learn a lot over the next couple of months about, you know, what is happening when we really start to reopen, that it's not just about unemployment insurance, which is insurance for workers who lose their job through no fault of their own, with other more fundamental things about this pandemic, about childcare, and about, you know, the aging of the workforce.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Lauren Bauer from the Brookings Institution about the end of pandemic era unemployment insurance programs coming up at the end of this week. Let's go back to your calls now. Paul is on the line in Monona. Paul, hello.
Oh, thank you for having me. I think right now is a great opportunity for people to kind of switch careers. I mean, maybe they're in the service industry. They could find something else, possibly in a factory or a warehouse. I was able to do that, make more money. I don't understand why we'd be giving money to people who choose to be unvaccinated. I mean, I understand some medically can't be vaccinated, but that's a very small number. But we got a lot of people out there who don't want to get vaccinated, and yet we're giving them money. And so, you know, it's a voluntary system. We don't have to give you money. You don't have to get vaccinated. But if we're going to give you money, I think, you know, we should be vaccinating. People should be getting vaccinated. And, you know, there's a lot of people choosing not to work, and it's kind of crazy.
Paul, I wanted to ask, if you're willing to share, what kind of service work did you get out of? And was it just because of the money, or was it something about the service job as well?
Well, I got out of working in bars as a bartender because, well, I mean, you know, everything shut down. And then when, you know, I was looking for jobs, I was able to find you know, jobs in basically in a warehouse, making a lot more money. And Epstein didn't kill himself.
Paul, thanks a lot for the call, except for the strange digression at the end there. But Lauren, Paul's point about service sector workers, I know a lot of people, anecdotally at least, getting out of that line of work, looking for more lucrative things, not really attached to vaccination status, these unemployment benefits. Your thoughts on someone he had to say there?
I think that you know, is the trend that we're seeing, certainly on the low wage sector, and we're going to see some productivity enhancements there. But I think we're really in early days here about, you know, how the post COVID economy is going to fundamentally switch. And frankly, I would be very excited to get to the post COVID economy, because I'm much more concerned that we're going to be in a perpetual COVID economy because of what your caller was just saying about, you know, vaccination rates not being where they need to be to keep our children safe, much less, you know, the economy.
And Lauren, I wanted to ask you your thoughts on how to do this kind of program, maybe in a future recession or other crisis. You earlier criticized what you call the date certain concept. We're passing this economic program and it's going to end on this date. And I know there are some things, like for a lot of years, dairy, there was a counter-cyclical program. It kicks in when the price of milk goes to a certain point. Do you think that's a better strategy for this kind of thing?
I do. And my group at the Brookings Institution, the Hamilton Project, published a book a few years ago that was quite influential called Recession Ready. And what that did was identify a series of indicators that an economy is in a recession, and when that happens, what are the kinds of things that we can do to, you know, get the economy back on track and provide support to families. And so that includes, you know, making sure that we are initiating and ending programs when the economy tells us it's time. And then on unemployment insurance specifically, you know, there are a lot of proposals. I think the most sensible ones are moving to a fully federal system so that states aren't in a position to, you know, end things earlier than they should. And also allows us to not have to do things like give a $600 or a $300 top up when you'd rather give a wage replacement rate. And I think there's another sensible thing here about, you know, what does pandemic unemployment assistance, the, you know, the program for people who aren't normally insured, look like under a fundamental reform? And I think it pulls in new workers. You know, we know that when you graduate into a recession, you know, it follows you for a lifetime. And one of the reasons that happens is because you don't have tenure to earn access to the unemployment insurance system. And so, you know, combining new entrants, recent graduates, giving them some money to get on their feet and find a job with, you know, additional insurance coverage for gig workers and part-time workers to complement the traditional system. I think that is sort of the set of things that we'd want to do that would improve the system in normal times and help us respond better to a recession next time.
Lauren, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
It was my pleasure.
That was Lauren Bauer. She's a fellow at the Brookings Institution focusing on safety net policies. She joined us today to talk about how the millions still relying on extended unemployment benefits will be affected by the end of these pandemic-related unemployment programs that happens this Saturday in Wisconsin.